We back.
Welcome to another episode of the Court Cast, the returning episode of the Court Cast. We were on a 2-week break because I went back to the UK where I studied to officially graduate. So I'm sitting here today as an LLB holder. I just want to say
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank God. Thank Femi. No, thank Dosin because he wasn't part of my journey.
The only person that said congratulations.
Well, yeah, man. Proud of myself. Money. Proud of myself. But now we're back to reality, back in Canada and ready to record. So as usual, by the voice, you can tell it's your voice of reason who's back again to close out the season. Oh my God, bro. Voice of reason back to close out the season. But yeah, voice of reason, voice of truth, speak the truth, only truth and nothing but the truth. It's Feyi back again on the mic. And with me is my squad, is the second in command of the blind witnesses, our very own Shannon Sharp, T-Shiesty himself, Tosin. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. You know, it's always good to be back to give the people what they want.
No, what the people want is my opinion, not yours. And of course, at the top left is the man, the myth, the legend himself, the Black Skip Bayless, the only man Skip can see and be jealous of, Femi. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, as usual. Thanks.
Thank you. So, I'm not going to lie, guys. When I was in the UK, I didn't watch a lot of basketball, but normality resumed when I came back, and I dug back in, and the Lakers are in danger. In fact, I will say it right now. The Lakers are not going to make the playoffs. Coming into the season, they had expectations of possibly winning a championship, possibly a Western Conference Finals berth. Kendrick Perkins was saying they'll win close to 70 games, and they're not going to make the playoffs. They're 2 games behind the Spurs, who currently have the 10th seed. With LeBron James averaging 30 points a game, the Lakers are not going to make the playoffs. This is only, what, the third time in LeBron's career where he's not going to make the playoffs. 2 of them have been with the Lakers now. First of all, before we get into any potential bigger picture scenario, what is your reaction to the Lakers not making the playoffs?
I think it's a proper roundup and summary of their season, and I'm glad they're not making the playoffs, because if they made the playoffs, honestly, it would be a detriment to how bad, or detriment to showcasing how bad they've played this season. And I feel like they deserve the due punishment. I mean, this season has been hampered by a lot of injuries and a lot of players not playing together for a long period of time, but it is quite unfortunate. This team had so much. They're going to be one of the biggest warriors in the history of basketball.
We saw what they were through the course of the season.
I mean, you have to think, if they had time to gel more, to play on the team at the same time for a longer time, what could we have seen? We don't know. It's quite sad and unfortunate. And I can't wait for the offseason. I can't wait to see. That's the only thing, because realistically, even if they made the playoffs, the season is over for the Lakers. So, their season should just end pretty quickly, and then the general manager can get to, like, you know, planning things out. I'm excited for the offseason, but I really have no thoughts for the Lakers.
You know, every week I say we're not going to talk about the Lakers, and then boom, first topic, the Lakers. Crazy. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I just have one burning question to LeBron. What did he see in the offseason when he was, like, posting pictures with Russell last time, and then, like, you know, all those gyms? And I'm like, what did he see in off season to be like, hey, I could actually go far with this guy? To be honest with you, I'm still trying to figure out what he saw, to be honest, because at the end of the day, right, basketball is a team sport, right? It's 1 through 5 has to be, they literally have to be, they have to play like they're connected on a chain, which is why you would see teams like the Phoenix Suns, the Memphis Grizzlies.
One would even argue 1 through 10, possibly.
You know what I'm saying? Facts. And you can see in the, even in the way the Raptors play, the way Boston's play, like you can see balls popping, man, there's a lot of man movement. There is
no stagnant on offense.
No stagnant offense. Even when they do have a stagnant offense, you know what I'm saying?
And defense all, as well.
They all get back on defense. Yep. You know what I'm saying? They all get back on defense. It's like they're moving on a chain, right? I would go as far as mentioning the Utah Jazz, the way they move the ball, and you know, there's a lot of man movement. And to be honest, that's how you play basketball, right? And these guys are too old to keep up. And I'm still wondering how LeBron, like, you know, being the greatest basketball IQ, right? I wonder what he saw. Because at the end of the day, Anthony needs spacing. He needs spacing. Russell needs spacing. And all three of them on the floor, they clog. They clog them.
They started with Rondo as well.
Right?
The worst part is them three need spacing. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any shooters on the team.
So I wonder what LeBron saw in his mind in terms of the landscape-wise of how far we're going to go. That made him feel like, because you remember he tweeted like, oh, you might think we're washed.
Please keep the same energy about my squad.
Please keep the same energy. We have the same energy, Mr. LeBron. But where's yours, sir? You might be top in scoring, but there is no impact. You know what I'm saying? So... I'm really disappointed.
So your main thing about the Lakers season is your question to LeBron.
Yeah, it's like, bro, what were you thinking?
And I agree with you because the fact is, mere NBA casuals, mere people who don't even watch basketball like that or who don't even know the game like that would say, how is this going to work? The reason I believed it was going to work is because LeBron James thought it was going to work. And I'm thinking to myself, if LeBron James thinks it's going to work, why the hell should Faye, even though I'm the voice of reason, think it's not going to work? You know what I'm trying to say? And, and then there's Magic Johnson, who came out with the talk today that Lakers had the chance to get DeMar. And Bron and Russ started talking, blah, blah, blah. And unfortunately, they went with Russ. Now, think if the Lakers had DeMar, they would have had enough cap space to resign Caruso and probably one of Kuz or KCP. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Could have traded those two for Buddy Hield as well.
Right.
And they could potentially be on their way to a Western Conference Finals, especially seeing what DeMar has done to the Chicago Bulls this season. Well, now they're what, 16 games behind, below 500 with what, 4 games to play? And in danger, not even in danger, they're not going to make the playoffs. And to me, it's even a worse look with the fact that LeBron is averaging 30. I feel like it's a worse look on LeBron.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Because then I saw a stat the other day that LeBron's, Michael Jordan's Washington Wizards over his two seasons have a better record than the Lakers have this season. And these Lakers team have three lockdown Hall of Famers and two questionable Hall of Famers. So what does this season go as far? Do you feel like this season is detrimental to LeBron's GOAT case, or it's just nothing? It's water off the bridge.
I would like the
blind witness.
Because I want to hear from you, because I know where I stand.
I think it has no impact on his GOAT case at all. I think
he put this team together, and that tweet, he came out before the season and said, y'all keep talking about my squad, blah, blah, blah. We went over doing when it all happens. He keep that same energy. And he's 16 games below 500 and he's not going to make the playoffs.
You have to realize that in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when they're talking about the GOAT case, one, no one's going to bring this up. Two, if this is brought up, there's also counter arguments where AD was injured for more than half the season.
AD wasn't any good when he was out.
And you're going to bring up LeBron's personal statistics. And LeBron has shown that.
Do you know what's crazy about the NBA? He needs to get
40-something for them to win.
Let me ask. The NBA is so crazy to me because when Russell Westbrook was getting a triple-double every night and having a almost an 80% win record in those games, he had a triple-double. Everybody was saying he's stat bad. Now LeBron James is averaging 30 and everyone is like, oh, look, he's doing his best. Nobody is helping him. I'm sorry. Same energy. He's stat padding. He's chasing Kareem's record. He stopped caring about winning since the All-Star game. And the only thing on his mind is, ooh, if I stop taking more threes, if I start shooting the ball more often, if I stay in the game, even at age 37, when we are down 30, I can put up 40 and then I can get closer to Kareem's record night by night.
Let me cue that
argument. I see.
Let me cue that argument. Let me cue that argument real quick.
You've been listening to me a lot.
Nah, you guys, that argument is very not strong. Let me explain why. Beginning of season, when you as LeBron, you see there are no shooters around you. LeBron's game is predicated on, okay, why do you think he had a lot of assists with Cavs? He had a lot of shooters around him. When he makes passes on Lakers and no one can knock down shots, do you know if they were actually knocking down shots the same rate in Cavs, his assist total would be a lot higher. And when he goes to the bench and there is someone that can actually, like a Kyrie on the team, that can actually like relatively regulate things, then he doesn't need to come back to drop 40. He doesn't need to come back to drop 50. But he has to. He's playing to how the team. And granted, he selected this team. So that's not a detriment to his.
He's not. That's the thing.
Why should he be complaining?
What adjustment has LeBron made to his game this season for you to say, oh, he's adapting to his new teammates?
Having to shoot more.
He's having to shoot more because he can't drive.
I'm talking about even the drives at the rim, they count as shots. And he's averaging the least amount of free throws attempted in his entire career, whilst he averaging
he's settling for a lot more jump shots right now. But he's also shooting the most threes in his career right now.
But his field goal percentage is still around his career average. So he's not taking worse shots. He's just taking more shots.
Tosin, I'm saying, what adjustment has LeBron made to his game to accommodate the no spacing that Russell and taking more shots? How is that an adjustment?
Yes. Do you realize taking more shots doesn't necessarily mean he's not driving to the hoop? I'm saying
that's not my point. I'm saying, how is that an adjustment to accommodate Russell and AD?
Because he can't kick out to anyone.
What?
This guy has played, he has had to play center. He has made so much adjustment. I know Westbrook has
He's had to play too. Center because of injury issues, not because he's adjusting his game. No. Russell has had to sacrifice.
What do you mean injury issues? We had other centers that could have played. When DeAndre Jordan was there, Dwight Howard. LeBron was still one playing center.
Is DeAndre Jordan really an option?
Okay, Dwight Howard.
But Frank Vogel, that's Frank Vogel. Like, Frank Vogel doesn't play Dwight Howard for one reason or the other.
See, can I just say something? Yeah. Tosin, yeah. The thing is, the disappointing thing is, it's LeBron. You know what I'm saying? That's the disappointing part. He's, at the end of the day, top six numbers, you know? Like, all you're just seeing on display is just top six numbers. Somebody that's just...
Please tell me someone that was 37 doing what he was doing. The standard that...
Michael Jordan won the MVP at age 30. Michael Jordan won MVP, Finals MVP, and championship at age 35.
Did he have the same number of mileage on his legs as a 37-year-old LeBron?
But here's the thing. See. You know how Bron is past Karl Malone for
second place. Yeah.
You know he has taken 560 plus more shots.
You see, this is where you're a hypocrite, because when he passed Michael Jordan, he took how many more? How many?
He took 1,000 more though.
Than Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
That's cap.
Because of how many more? Because how many games he's played?
This is what I'm trying to say.
He had played more games than Michael Jordan, but he had taken less shots than Michael
Jordan. Forget this, right? I'm telling you.
Do you understand what I'm saying? He had taken less shots than Michael Jordan, and he passed Michael Jordan. But now he took more shots than Carmelo, and you're bringing that up. Why didn't you bring that up when he passed Michael Jordan?
Look at the hypocrisy. Wait, why are you dwelling on that? I'm telling you, look at what Russell has done. I'm not saying he has adjusted perfectly. But he's made sacrifices that have made him look less of the player than he is. And LeBron has not done anything to accommodate the brilliant to accommodate the type of player that Russell Westbrook is.
When Russell was making shots at the rim, what did LeBron need to do?
Here's the thing. Does not play off ball. Let me just tell you right now. Bron does not play off ball. So, with that being said, I'd say 60 to 70% of his shot attempts are off of like off the dribble.
Do you understand the beginning of the season? LeBron tried to play off ball when Russ and Rondo were on the team, and then after a couple of games,
remember, see that this thing is not productive. Every single time he had the ball,
Tosin, you don't average 10.2 assists in a season if you're not hogging the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? And that was like 2 years ago. So, and the thing is, it's not like his usage rate has dropped. He's probably the most, he uses the ball more right now. That's not accommodating Russell.
It's higher than Russell's as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not accommodating. That's not accommodating Russell.
Bro, do you understand? You guys, wait, Femi, you seem to have forgotten that when you have, let's say you're on your team right now, and let's say you're the best player, and over the years, you've handled the ball, and you've actually produced effectively, and another ball handler comes to your team, and for the first maybe 20 games, he can't finish at the rim. He's averaging the most turnovers in the league. He's not really handling the ball effectively.
Okay, if you had that context,
Continue to handle it. LeBron wasn't playing at the time when Russell was doing all that.
You know what I'm saying? If you had that context, let me explain
what I'm trying to say. Exactly. LeBron James said, "Okay, forget DeMar. Get me Russell Westbrook."
So forget Buddy Hield too.
For LeBron to say, forget DeMar, forget Buddy Hield, and get me Russell Westbrook, I would believe, LeBron is like, I figured out how to work things out with a player like Russell Westbrook, right?
No, trust me, the trade is terrible. LeBron made terrible decisions.
That's the point I'm trying to make. He made the trade, and we all thought he had figured out a way to work out.
Yeah, I'm sure they had conversations.
But at the end of the day, it didn't work.
They played together in the offseason.
My point is, it's not working. You can't put it on LeBron's shoulders. You saw the first 20 games in the season.
But
you can't put it on
LeBron's
shoulders.
LeBron wasn't playing.
We saw the games LeBron played within every single game.
Russell Westbrook has looked like Russell Westbrook. LeBron James hasn't played.
For the most part,
80 to 90% of them, LeBron James hasn't played. It's not a coincidence.
Okay, we saw AD and Westbrook. What about that?
For a while, they didn't succeed. It was without Braun.
Okay.
But I know.
We've also seen LeBron go to the bench and Westbrook with the bench.
Tosin, wait, let me make my point. You take Braun out of that team, give Russell AD and shooters around. Tell me they're not going to cook.
Let's be fair. At the beginning of the season, when they played OKC and they blew those leads, LeBron was not playing.
Bro, when you're not finishing at the rim, you can't blame LeBron. This guy could not finish layups. Still is struggling with layups. Cannot finish dunks. You're blaming it on LeBron. These are fundamental things that you're meant to be able to do. His point average would have been higher if he was doing those things.
Tosin, there are games where, like, games like the one against Charlotte.
Sacramento.
Especially Charlotte, where Russell wheeled the team back. Like, I would give him.
No, I'm sure every superstar or every worst player would have a couple of good games
But the point I'm trying to make is
the point is
Russell, whenever Bron doesn't play, look at what he did yesterday.
I don't agree.
He was extremely efficient yesterday. It's not a coincidence that it happens every time Bron is out.
But the point to Westbrook is not that Westbrook can't play alone. The thing is, Westbrook can't play with other superstars.
Westbrook cannot play with LeBron, not other superstars.
Point me to the time Westbrook has played with other superstars and he succeeded.
Houston Rockets.
2012.
The Houston Rockets were very successful.
That's the only time you can point to the OKC. But Houston
what about
Rockets,
the Houston Rockets? Why not?
What was the expectation for that team? It has Dustin, to do with the expectation Dustin, of the team Dustin, compared to what they achieved.
Can we change? Why must Russ?
Because they made the playoffs and they lost. They lost in the playoffs simply because
we are talking about what was the expectation of the team without Westbrook. What was the team able to do with just James Harden and getting Westbrook? What were they able to do? It was less.
What do you mean it was less? Because he was injured.
Oh my God.
He was in the playoffs.
Are you telling me right now that he was bloody injured? Tosin, what do you expect a player to do on a torn meniscus?
We've seen Westbrook without a torn meniscus.
Yeah, I saw that season.
You still leave him open.
So how did he have the most 30 points games that season? He had over 20 games. I think he had a stretch of 30 games in a row, scoring 20 points
before
or more.
Before the pandemic hit, he was like leading in.
Do you guys understand what I'm talking about, though?
I'm not talking about his personal record. I'm saying, can he play with another superstar to propel them to win? You are talking about games that he played without LeBron, where they still lost. You are just looking at
and that's not been proven. And that's the thing.
Exactly. He's still going to drop his numbers when LeBron is not there.
The fact is, he has not
propelled any team to win.
The fact is, that Houston team was destined for more if he didn't get COVID and get injured.
So why did Harden say he's not playing with him anymore?
Harden was done with Houston, not Russell.
No, he wasn't done with Houston.
Russell said he doesn't want to play with Harden again because he wanted to be the man on his team. Harden was done with Houston with or without Russell Westbrook.
Femi, do you agree Harden was done with Houston?
The thing is, I read that Russell was tired of Harden's attitude in terms of like coming late to film sessions. And then when he does come to film session, the man acts like he doesn't care. So I think that was the main reason why Russell asked for a trade is what I read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I think Harden was more done with Houston than Russell, to be honest. Because at that point in time, remember Harden at the press conference was saying, I can't win with this team.
We're just not good enough. That's what he was saying.
We're not just good enough is what he was saying.
Okay, but when you say that, aren't you saying, okay, the general manager needs to get like other players to the team? At that point, the season was not over yet.
We have to move on, right? But in the offseason, after they had just lost to the Lakers, this guy had gone. Daryl Morey had moved away. Russell wanted a trade. Harden is like, who are you going to get out there from Russell? I can't play with this. So he was done with Houston.
But before we go on, there is no superstar that wants to continuously play with Westbrook. We've seen it with Paul George, with KD, with
Paul George wanted to play with Russell Westbrook. It's just if he had the chance to play with Kawhi over Russell, you're picking Kawhi. It's as simple as that.
It's still my point. You cannot point to the fact that anybody has picked Russell over anybody else.
Beginning of the 2019 season, Harden picked Russell over Bron. Remember the beginning of the season before PG resigned? He went to Russell's party.
He went for a party with Russell and Nas, and he goes, "Me and this man, we can bring it back here."
That's personal relationship.
The Lakers were after him. He picked Russell and James Harden playing with Russell Westbrook.
Kyrie went and said, I'm going to be back in Boston. I wasn't back. Who cares? You believe what everyone is saying.
He resigned after saying we can bring it back.
Anyways, let's move on from this. Westbrook has not proven to me that he can play with another superstar.
Paul George was a free agent in 2018.
He has an array of... he has an array of superstars that he has played with, and he has never been successful. So I can't tell you that you can put it on LeBron that this has not been successful. LeBron has a array of examples that he has been successful with other superstars
on a team that is not even good.
That has a CV of playing with superstars versus someone that does not have a CV of playing with superstars.
Let's talk about a good team. You are in danger of being muted. Let's talk about a good team. A team that's going to make it out.
Tosin. We can have this discussion after. Like Russell's, you know, Russell's topic, not the end. You know,
the Dallas Mavericks, especially from Femi. The Dallas Mavericks need way more respect.
After two weeks of our haters, you want to disturb me with this nonsense.
I'll give it to Tosin. Tosin was telling us all this while, but I only caught on this year after they traded Porzingis. But these guys, they have a
better record.
For Spencer. They have a better record than Milwaukee.
The difference about the Mavericks
for me is Luka seems a different player this year. Like, he's been putting up numbers, right? But he just looks like something has clicked in a different sense this year. Like, wow. I've seen him haunt LeBron, Tatum, Ja, Jokic, Giannis, Embiid. I've seen him haunt all these players on pick and roll switches, and he cooks them, especially in clutch situations. Yesterday, I think it was in the fourth quarter, they were down a point. He looks for Giannis on the pick and roll and steps back on his head. Like, I've seen.
I mean, he was on JJ's podcast and he explained why he does that. I don't know if you saw it.
Interesting.
Yeah, because JJ asked him, like, you've been hunting down like superstars. He said he has noticed that when you tire them out, it's going to affect their own offense. So he tries to go at them on defense so that they won't be as productive.
But that's the mentality I'm talking. That's what I'm saying. Something has clicked for him this season. And
I want to credit that to the difference in coaching. That's everything I want to credit. First of all, I told you guys about their defense. Their defense is
the
whole team's to below their average points now. And I think everything starts on their defense. When you see Powell as their center, Powell is an amazing, like, he moves.
Yes, no, I saw his tweet yesterday. They were like, it's crazy how the 2014 NBA draft had the three greatest centers in the league right now in Jokic, Embiid, and Dwight Powell.
Powell has been amazing. And the addition of Dinwiddie, as opposed to, what's the name? Porzingis. Now, Porzingis is an amazing talent, but Porzingis, number one, is injury.
That's all he is. He's a talent.
Porzingis is only a shot blocker. He does not add anything other than shot blocking on defense.
I honestly feel that Rick Carlisle didn't do him any favors as well. Like, I would say this.
Yeah, true. Rick
Carlisle was holding the Mavs back in a huge way.
Yeah. And Dinwiddie brings a lot to their offense. He's dynamic.
He's playmaking. He can go to the hoop.
He's playmaking. And now, to finish the game, they play three playmakers in Brunson, Dinwiddie, and Luka. And you can't help off either because the other one can get their shot off.
I think the biggest thing about the Mavs for me is it's no longer three and inshallah. Like, they run offensive sets and they're very good defensively. And Luka has been defensively. And I'll be honest with you, I don't see, like, I can see them beating any team in the NBA in a 7-game series.
And Luka is actually unstoppable on offense because I see Drew Holiday trying to guard him against when they were played against Milwaukee.
Only man I've ever seen stop Luka Doncic is Kawhi Leonard. That's the only man.
He's too big and too crafty. And he can literally give it to the big man.
Bro, this
he's not
man
afraid
won
to give it to
EuroLeague MVP at age 15. Like, this is not new for him.
So I'm really excited.
Who were you doing at age 15?
You know, it is what it is. I'm really excited to see the rise of Dallas Mavericks. They're third in the West now, and I'm very happy.
They're about to win 50 games. Like,
and I saw the chart where they said October, November. Luka is like, he's not sure what he's doing. He's still shaking off the fact that he gained weight. And then as soon as he's getting close to the playoffs, this guy goes crazy.
He's
and then
just,
playoffs time, he gets tired. But these playoffs, I don't think he would be hampered like.
All those things he was doing last. But Femi, the floor is yours. I need your honest assessment.
Go crazy on Dinwiddie.
I can't believe this is going to be a first for me.
Oh my God. Oh my. No. Yo, guys, get your camera phones out. Get your camera phones out.
Oh my goodness. It's a Kodak moment.
Oh my God.
It's a Kodak moment.
Oh my God. What is going on? Say it.
On the Dallas Mavericks, I actually have nothing to say.
What? That's, come on, bro.
What do you mean that's the first? That's like,
what are you doing? No, that's a good thing because he always has something to say on the Mavericks. So the fact he has nothing to say means we're pushing him wrong slightly. I'm trying to say.
I mean, they've been the second hardest team, or even about the third hardest team since January, right? Record wise. They've been playing a great load of defense. The game, especially that I saw, was against Boston, actually. Then the Nets the following day.
You guys don't even know. But I was on the plane to go to the UK for my graduation. And obviously, because I'm on the plane, there's no Wi-Fi connection. And immediately I land. The first thing I see is this man here shouting, "Spencer! Told you boys about my boy Spencer." I'm like, I have never seen any single person hit on a superstar the way he does on Luka, bro. It's crazy.
But before I was so rudely interrupted, Spencer has been like the game changer. I think now y'all seeing my prophecy.
Is it more of Spencer or the fact that Porzingis is no longer on the team?
Mostly Spencer, because guess what? Porzingis, he lacks attitude. That's my
biggest issue. Athleticism, everything, determination.
See. But the thing is, look at Jokic. Jokic lacks athleticism. He can't jump off a curb. Okay? So, but he has attitude. You are not just going to walk over Jokic. You look at Porzingis. I can point to many. I have seen. Remember the playoff series against. It was when it was on the Knicks. I can't remember the team.
You don't even have to think far back, bro. Last year against the Clippers, the tallest person on the Clippers literally went small in the mouth. Tallest person was 6'9". Porzingis is 7'2". And
I expected they posted nothing less than 27 and 10
over Porzingis. And they were using Porzingis as a floor spacer.
That's incredible to me. So, I would love to see the Mavs in the playoffs. Because that way, you guys can buttress your points. Right? Luka can actually... Because all I'm just seeing right now is what any regular superstar would be doing in the
regular season. Any top 10 player would do in the regular season.
But he's top 12.
So do you have expectations for the Mavericks right now? Steady here now.
Expectations? Absolutely not, to be honest.
So what would the Mavericks do to win you over? What would they do these playoffs to win you over?
I mean, now you're trying to make me set expectations. Right? And I'm not going to fall for it. To be honest, I would just watch to see. To be honest, I would watch to be.
Guys, this is a big moment. This is a big moment because Femi is starting to open up to Dallas Mavericks. I never thought
I would. I'm. Well, the thing is, I've been going to therapy. So.
Yo, this guy, fam, still staying on good teams and teams that need way more respect on their name. The six, baby. The Toronto Raptors.
Tell them.
16 in the East.
Tell them.
145 games this season. Could potentially end up a 4th seed if everything goes their way.
Tell them. 6-4-7, baby.
Yeah. Hang the jersey up. Hang it up.
6-4-7, baby.
Let them know. Let them know.
Pascal Ye. Siakam Ye. Pascal Ye.
All NBA Pascal Siakam, fam.
It should be first team all NBA. If I don't see first team,
Raptors, right? They're not a team that you look, because you look at Boston Celtics, you're like, oh, Jason Tatum. Look at the Mavericks, you're like, oh, Luka Doncic. Staying in the East, you see Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, all these guys. And then you look at the DeMar, and then you look at the Raptors. There's no name that stands out like that. But they're also a team that nobody wants to play against in the playoffs. That's the thing about the Toronto Raptors, because you look at their coach, Nick Nurse, he's a top 5 coach in the NBA, NBA champion for a reason.
Facts. Like,
he makes it a living hell for certain superstars to play against the Toronto Raptors. Like, facts. We saw what he did to Giannis. He was the man. He made Giannis the man he is today.
Facts.
And then you look at, you know, the Raptors play small ball. But it's that small ball where everyone is 6'9". What are you going to do about that?
Facts.
Everybody plays defense. There's length. There's athleticism. They're switching 1-5. There was a game this season. There was a period this season when the Raptors were going through injury issues. Scottie Barnes started at point guard. Next game, he started at center. That's how flexible the Raptors lineup is.
Hello.
They're a team.
Are you Quavo? What's with the ad-libs?
They're a team that nobody wants to face in the playoffs. Sure, they're not going to go to like a conference finals or something like that. But the fact that they're not even in the play-in and they're like the sixth seed and could I don't know, man. They could win a playoff series. They could possibly win a playoff series. But yeah, Tosin, what do you think?
I want to hear from him actually. Honestly, to be honest, I actually
want to
hear.
Do want to hear his honest assessment.
Like, honestly,
first of all, you guys know I'm always honest, and I appreciate that.
Come on, stop.
Toronto, for me, they've proved me wrong. I hate them with a passion. But when it comes to teams that I'm scared of in the East, I'll say they're top three. They're ahead of Miami. When it comes to like teams I'm scared of, they're ahead of Miami for me.
No, but what's anything? What of, will haunt us as a Toronto fan? What would haunt us is, I love Pascal, but we've seen him as a number two option. And that is when he's at his best, especially come playoff time. Like, the lack of a number one go-to option on offense is what will hold us back.
But here's the thing, B. Here's the thing. I feel like what happened to him against the Boston Celtics series
made him grow up.
Yeah, he needed to happen to him, to be honest with you.
Made him grow up.
Because yeah, I think right he needed now, to realize.
Averaging 23 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Like,
yeah.
That is all NBA numbers. Only 7 players in the league are doing that right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
50-30-80 splits. Like, come on.
Like I said, they're one of the teams that scare me. Not necessarily one of the best teams, but when it comes to like teams that put fear in my heart, they're ahead of like Miami, Philly. For me.
Why is that for you?
Because I look at.
He's scared of our roar.
I look at, for example, Philly, right? Philly, they lack defense. They lack athleticism. They have a lot of guys that are sloppy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and on Toronto, they have they play small ball, but they're all like long, and they have 3-point shooting, and they have shot blockers, small shot blockers, but they defend as a unit. And you have one of the best coaches. And when I see your schemes and your adjustments in game when you're playing like big games in regular season, I respect it. Like, you guys don't have like that razzle dazzle player, but it just always comes together, and you guys always give any team a problem, regardless of the team. So it makes me nervous. But I think the seeding right now, it's a favor you if Philly finishes third.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, if Philly finishes third, because if it's Milwaukee that finishes third or Boston,
let me tell you the thing about Boston. That would be difficult. No matter where Toronto is in this life, the Boston Celtics would always be our kryptonite. We can't be his
friend. Yeah.
No, yeah, but here's the thing, though. It might change, though, because remember, after we lost, Marcus Smart was going on Twitter talking about he's the king of the North. That thing still pisses me off.
Oh, bro. That's the reason I hate Marcus Smart till today.
Till this day, I'm on a personal mission to make the Raptors team so I can shut him up.
Let him know.
Sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Let him know.
Yeah, I'm on him.
Let him go. But honestly, like, Toronto, and I want to shout out Kendrick Perkins as well. He's one of the only analysts with like a camera on him that gives Toronto the credit they deserve. And shout out to him. Like, he's doing a great thing with ESPN. There you go. And then we're going to move on to, as Tosin, it's like Tosin knows where I'm moving on to because his head is down. The Brooklyn Nets, they're the 10th seed in the East.
Hey,
yo, why did you exclaim?
No, sorry. I was thinking out loud. Sorry.
They're the 10th seed in the East, and I know it's crazy.
Tosin, why so gloom?
I know it's crazy, but
I'm waiting for the question to be asked.
Is there any chance?
Oh, sorry.
Is there any chance in hell we may not see the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs this year.
Absolutely not. Think about the seeding. How many games left? The only question is, where would we finish in 7th to 10th spot? We're definitely in the plane. And if we
Ben Simmons is out for the rest of the regular season on the plane, though.
Yeah. If we don't finish 7th, we'll need to win 2 games. And
if you don't finish 7th, yeah, or 8th,
if we don't finish
7th or 8th, you need to win 2 games, because it's 7th against 8th. So if you win 7th seed, then you go through to the next
year. So and the fact that Toronto are not in the play-in makes me very happy, because I was very nervous about going to play them, Toronto, especially without Kyrie. So of course, with KD and Kyrie on my team, I love my chances. Let me finish. And I've seen my team play when it's a big game, and I love that team a big game.
Correct. Here's the thing. The Atlanta Hawks, biggest game of Brooklyn that season. KD goes off for 55, a very efficient 55, might I add. Kyrie goes off for 30. You get 85 points from your best players.
KD
goes off for 55. Kyrie goes off for 30, and you lose by
this 10. Is why I don't sleep, ladies and
gentlemen. But let me ask you a question. Among our starters, how many starters were missing?
Yeah, Bruce Brown was missing, Seth Curry was missing, and I think one more person was.
Would you say those are important? Because now you take bench players that produce nothing then put them as starters.
But I'm saying it's not the first time we've seen KD and Curry. I've seen KD and Curry go for 75 points and they still lose the game.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and our problem is defense. Like that's visible to the blind.
Me, Femi, me, Tosin, Humphrey, Dan. We could put up 100 points on the Nets.
And that's major cap.
We could put up 100 points and they can't guard a parked car. They can't guard a parked car.
See, I'll tell you, in big games, go and check what the other teams drop on us. They drop they drop below average points on us. So I know there is a problem. They asked Steve Nash, like, how can you motivate these guys to play defense every single time? He said he doesn't know the answer to that question. That's a problem on its own.
No, okay. If your coach is saying that, that's a problem.
Steve Nash. That's what I'm saying. It is a problem. First of all, Steve Nash is a problem. He doesn't know how to motivate the team to play defense every single possession. But also,
he knows how to motivate the team. To be
Steve
honest.
Nash is not a he's not a coach, in my opinion.
He doesn't call the right timeouts.
He doesn't call plays, bro. I've never seen. I feel like the Nets don't have like offensive sets. Like they don't call.
The game against Charlotte. No, was it Charlotte? Yeah, Charlotte. Kyrie after the game said, most times he felt like a decoy on offense. Like, yes, KD was having a relatively okay game. Kyrie was also having a relatively okay game. But every single play was run for KD. Even though when KD was double teamed, it was run for KD. Kyrie was free and open. KD missed 2 buzzer beaters. And it's like, yeah, KD can hit those shots, but you have another guy on your team that can hit those shots. Actually, make plays. Kyrie only took one shot in the fourth quarter.
Steve Nash is not, and this boils down to Kyrie Irving as well, telling KD, I feel like we don't even need a coach. They went out there and they didn't get a coach.
I'm very upset on the defensive attitude and effort. I do feel like Bruce Brown makes a huge difference, because when you saw him against Middleton, he had like 3 blocks on Middleton alone. He's a defensive stopper, relatively. And
wait a minute. Is it not just you that you were? Was it not last episode?
What happened to Bruce Brown? What did I say?
That's exactly what you said.
How
the Nets trading for Ben Simmons. You know, they could run a lineup of Kyrie, Bruce Brown, and then you now go Bruce Brown.
It couldn't have been me.
It's you. You know what? I'm going to edit this clip. Insert the clip of you saying Bruce Brown. Post it for the viewers to see, to let them know that you are really the voice of treason.
If I did say that,
you said it was Kyrie, Bruce Brown, Kevin Durant, and you were like,
Bruh.
Spurs.
But was I saying it? Was I saying it in like an endearment?
That's type how you of say
way?
It.
No!
See my face.
You were like,
see my face.
Why the hell are you adding that guy's name to this
list? Yeah, you were like.
Okay, I'd like to apologize to Bruce Brown because he's been playing his best basketball, and I like his defense. And when we have like a Seth Curry nuisance, Seth Curry drops relatively drops like four three pointers a game. We have Patty Mills. Patty Mills has not made a three in like 74 games. That guy consistent 0 points every game. We have people on Twitter like the Nets Kingdom. They love Patty Mills. They said, yeah, is it time we start slandering Patty Mills? We know he's a nice guy and everything, but he's giving us constantly 0 points and no defense.
Bro said he hasn't made a three in 74 games, bro. That's crazy. So,
it's very annoying. And James Johnson, for whatever reason why he's playing, I want to know. If he has
Steve Nash's
daughter,
bro,
I want to know because this is out of hand. Blake Griffin comes in every game and he does something positive. And James Johnson, like, I know he knows like taekwondo or some shit. Maybe that's why the coach is nervous about him. But this guy should be banned from that team. Thank you.
Why so hostile?
Is that the end of your rant?
Yes.
All right, we move on, man. We move on.
It's okay.
All right, guys. I actually want to do something.
Hmm.
I'm supposed to stand up and turn off the lights because of the next segment, but I'm too lazy to do that. Do you know why I'm turning off the lights?
Why?
Because we're about to go to the dark side.
Mm.
The Memphis Grizzlies. Welcome to the dark side. Welcome to the dark side.
Pun intended, too, by the way. Listen, pun intended, too, by the way.
Welcome to the dark side. At 19-2 without Ja Morant. You beat the Phoenix Suns without Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks,
Milwaukee,
and Desmond Bane.
They beat Milwaukee as well.
These guys are legitimate title contenders.
No, they're not.
They are legitimate.
Go to the dark side. I thought you were coming with some objectivity.
You guys are not. Well, I guess I'm the only one going to the dark side, man. That's why I sleep with my light off at night. It's because of the Memphis Grizzlies.
You need to be taken to the shadow realm, bro.
No, right. You guys, why aren't the Memphis Grizzlies legitimate title contenders?
They're still too young. We've seen this before.
Oh, I don't care.
We've seen this before.
What have we seen before?
Derrick Rose.
Yeah, but that was the big three Miami, though.
Yeah, but still, like, we've seen this before. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No,
you know,
fam,
in my opinion, I saw Ja Morant
rock up to Chase Center and stop Steph Curry from going to the playoffs with a 35 piece.
Yeah, and Derrick Rose in his playoff debut scored 36 points on almost maybe 20 shots.
Okay.
I want you guys to put this in perspective.
Game one against the Utah Jazz. He goes up for 40 and the dub in Utah. Even though they end up losing in five, they've taken major steps forward as a team since that. So why?
Yes, I agree.
It's not far off.
I would say the only problem I have is, yes, they're great in regular season, but in a 7-game series where you don't have like, your go-to person is Ja Morant. Outside of Ja Morant, if it's to get like a bucket in game seven, it's only Ja Morant, right? Brooks.
What do you mean, Fab? What do you mean?
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Grizzlies are beating the Denver Nuggets in the 7-game series?
Yes, they are. Why? Because
as currently constructed,
they are just
because of defense.
Let's be honest. The Memphis Grizzlies can throw bodies at Jokic. They can throw JJ. They can throw Jaren Jackson at Jokic. He's a defensive player of the year candidate. They can throw Stephen Adams at Jokic. They have bodies that they can throw at Jokic.
See, if you're saying as presently constructed, I believe they'll be Denver Nuggets. But if it's like fully healthy, games, fully healthy Denver Nuggets. But these are the teams that I think guys like are beat in the West. They can't beat Phoenix Suns in the seven-game series.
Why can't they not?
You think they'll beat Phoenix Suns in the seven-game series?
Why can't they not?
Because Phoenix Suns head coach is a very excellent head coach, and adjustments will be made for sure. They have a better point guard that can guide a team, and as
CP is not gonna score. He's not gonna score like Jai.
CP has played against a juggernaut in Golden State when he was on Houston.
Guys are saying it's impossible for the Memphis Grizzlies to beat the Phoenix Suns.
No, I said it's not far off, but I believe Phoenix Suns are in the seven game series are beating Memphis, and I believe Dallas Mavericks would be Denver Nuggets.
I agree with that, but the Suns in seven-game series for me. Warriors, Memphis, seven-game series.
You're disrespecting both teams.
What are you
doing? You're disrespecting both teams.
They're the second seed. They are the second seed.
We have seen this before.
But we're talking about seven games in a row where you can adjust to them. No. First of all, they won't play 15 man. They won't play 15 men. Will shrink, and then
have to shrink?
Who is that's what happens 15? In the playoffs?
It happens in the playoffs because some of those guys aren't good enough to see minutes. But if these guys are good enough to see minutes, why won't they play?
Bro, even San Antonio that they play 45 people in regular season. When it's playoffs time, they still shrink it.
Okay, so if they shrink it to a 7-man rotation and they have Kenyon Anderson. Not 7-man, but like let's say
Easier to plan for. You don't have like a new game coming to drop random 20 points.
We saw and Tyloo do the same thing. We saw Tyloo do the same thing with the Clippers last season. They were like, oh, blah blah blah, 7-man rotation. But then you have this depth because in critical games, in different scenarios, players will step up for you. Luke Kennard was a no-show in the series against Dallas Mavericks. He made critical three-pointers in the games against the Utah Jazz to get them to the conference final. That's why you have this depth.
Yeah, but Ty Lue did that in like maybe a 20-point deficit type of game. If it's like a 7-point game, he's not going to bring the entire bench.
He introduced Luke Kennard with like in the third quarter of game 6 against the Dallas Mavericks.
You have to understand, both Phoenix Suns and Golden State have way more playoff experience.
I don't care.
You want to talk about? You talk about playoff experience.
I don't think Golden State has beaten anyone.
I don't care. Listen. The Memphis Grizzlies, if they meet the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs, they're beating both of them. BOFF. Both.
I'm gonna tell you for free right now. Golden State are not making it past the first round. If they maintain this position,
guys will be going crazy every day, bro. What are you talking about?
See, if they maintain the same position, fourth position, they are not making it out the first round.
You don't made Femi mad.
See,
bro.
First of all,
I'm not mad. I told you guys,
Golden State won't finish in the top four. You guys laughed at me. I came to apologize after the first 20 games. But we'll see.
Let's move on. We'll see. A debate that
talking about maybe.
Yo, Femi's mad, bro.
I'm not trying to have this conversation. Like, it's ridiculous to me. It's beyond me.
This is beyond me. As it stands, who will Golden State be facing the first round?
Wait, Tosin. We're moving on to...
You guys have not even been watching their games. This is...
But Steph Curry is out, though.
Did you watch them when Steph Curry was there?
I watched them play against the Utah Jazz. I watched Klay go up for 38.
Did you watch them?
Bro, did you guys see what Klay did in the third quarter against Utah? This man.
If they play first, they play Utah. They're cooking Utah every day.
They're cooking
day.
Utah in five games, bro.
Five games.
One thing about the Brooklyn Nets, right? If the Nets played the Milwaukee Bucks without Ben Simmons, they're losing in five games.
Huh? I don't think I heard that.
Nets played the Milwaukee Bucks without Ben Simmons. They're losing in five games.
Oh, absolutely.
Next segment.
Oh, absolutely.
On to the next topic. Like, this is something we're not going to agree on, right? But there's one thing we can agree on. and is that the answer is a player who is 7 foot and above. And the question is, who is the best player in the world?
Oh, sorry. My position on that topic has actually changed.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Fiku.
Who was it before?
It was obviously the Kaka.
Fiku. Oh, you thought Embiid was the best player in the world?
Welcome to the good side now. Welcome to the good side.
So who do you think it is now?
Atinti.
You know how we kumpo.
That man, that man is fearsome. That man.
He's a Yoruba man. What do you expect? He's a Yoruba man.
Tosin, why are you looking into the distance?
It's crazy.
No.
The last five times Giannis has faced off against KD.
See, I was thinking about it. Because for the past like, I don't know, 2 months, I've been saying Giannis, but I'm thinking about it deeply.
I was all Embiid, like I will lead out for.
No, don't disrespect.
I'll stand in front of a firing squad for Embiid. Like I will stand in front of a firing squad for Embiid. That's how much I was with him.
No, we're not about to disrespect Embiid, bro. But that's not we're not going to do
no,
that.
No, obviously.
We're not going to say that. Obviously. But the last 5 minutes of a ball game within 5 points, Giannis is shooting 52% from the field.
That's the best in the league.
52. This is a man that apparently has no 3-point shot, no free throw. 52%.
That jump shot against the Nets.
Bro's making step back threes now. Bro, the league.
Sriracha teriyaki. I don't think I've said that in a long time. Sriracha teriyaki.
Yo, Tosin is staring into oblivion and he's like, these guys got me, man. These guys got me.
Got me. Do you think I can ever be caught? Shit.
So who's the best player in the world for you?
After thinking about it, staring into the universe for the past 5 minutes now.
The flat, hearing guys the earth is flat, right? Starting into the flat earth.
the best player in the world is Kevin Durant in a close one. But the second is Giannis. And hear me out. Kevin Durant is playing with a terrible coach. Steve Nash. Like... No. Let me just state my points. Kevin Durant is playing with a terrible coach. A mechanic in disguise of a coach.
Oh my God.
And Giannis obviously is playing with a proven coach that has won a championship. Giannis
is playing because of Giannis.
Okay, yes, sir. Giannis is playing with five other guys. In fact, you can say eight other guys. First of all, you have to say general manager for Milwaukee Bucks has been fantastic over the last year. Okay, so Giannis is surrounded by people that actually complement his game and they actually make the right plays and things of that nature. KD, when you watch Brooklyn, even when you watch Brooklyn versus Milwaukee, you can tell who the best player on the court is. Like when KD has the ball and he's not double teamed, you know what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, with Giannis. Giannis, you can still game plan for Giannis, but you can't game plan for KD. Really?
That man screamed, bro.
Do I look like Chris Rock? What's going on?
Oh no, we're not about to do that, Tosin. Like stop, bro.
What's your problem?
You're wilding, bro.
What's your problem?
See, I said what I said and I mean what I said. You guys don't actually envision basketball the way I envision it.
Yeah, because you envision basketball in the wrong way. Okay, let me ask you a question. When you think of teams that can make it out the East, what is the one question that pops into your head? Who did they have to stop Giannis?
Fully healthy on both sides.
Who did they have? The Nets. We both agree that the Nets are not making it out the East simply because they can't stop Giannis. So how isn't that?
I've never agreed to that. When did I agree to that?
Who are they going to put on him? Nicholas?
Oh, that's barbecue chicken. Barbecue chicken, fam.
Did you guys actually watch the Milwaukee Bucks versus Brooklyn Nets?
I believe I have two eyes that work.
Yes.
TV.
Okay. Yes. Now, which team actually dominated the entire game?
Who won the goddamn game?
No.
Why are people missing that point?
We are talking about you saying that they'll beat us in five games. I'm talking about we dominated them. Bro, so how can they blow us out in five games?
Did I say blow you out? If they win by one point in five games, how many won in five games?
Game seven last year. You guys were dominating.
Mm. Okay, wait. When before KD came back and Kyrie was the only one and we beat them, what was your opinion? Did you say, oh, like because we won, we're going to win? You can't base it off of
that's
just
one
game.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't base it off of one game.
If the Nets meet the Bucks in the playoffs, maybe you don't understand English. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco,
five.
Econ, KG, Eta, Aaron, Aaron.
I don't speak those languages.
Speak another
that was,
one.
That was Spanish, Yoruba, Spanish. English, and French. I gave you four languages to tell.
Give me Portuguese.
Four languages to tell you that the Nets are losing to the Bucks in five games, bro.
It is what it is. The thing is, we can tell that we have different opinions.
Why are you putting on Giannis?
In the East, in the West, we have different opinions, and I can't wait.
We're going to save this for our playoff special next week. You have to put it on Giannis. You have this floor to yourself. Our playoff special is coming up. Femi, don't get mad. But special mention to obviously the rest of the players.
As long as we have James Johnson in prison and he's not played, we are fine.
Tosin, you have to stop, man. You're wild.
Why are you so hostile?
But I just want to say, shout out to the other two in contention, in Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. Makes you think, are we a big man league again? Because the four best players in the world are all 7 foot and above. So
yeah,
that's
yeah,
great. Three of them are foreigners as well. So
is absolutely amazing to see. They have like peculiar stories that like make it very.
Do you guys know Joel Embiid didn't start playing basketball till he was 16?
Yeah. But when I heard that, like, they have
just like me, listeners. When I get
like you guys, if anyone is interested, just go and watch his interview with JJ Redick that just came out. Bro, when I saw Joel Embiid talking about drop coverage defense, I'm like, okay, this guy actually knows basketball. Like, he just doesn't. And I love the way he talks. He talks like he has a.
That guy was meant to actually play volleyball professionally.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's why he'd be blocking shots, bro.
That's insane.
Their last game, they asked him, what about his knee? Like, he's hampered right now. And he was like, I feel a lot of pain there, you know, jumping, dunking and whatnot, but I'm African, we don't feel pain. I'm like,
right, just the way he talks, man, I just like everything about Joel Embiid. Like,
but that would go under the rug because that would actually affect them in the playoffs. Joel Embiid being hampered.
Joel Embiid dropped 44 points against the Atlanta Hawks on a torn MCL. I'm not having that.
I'm telling you,
the thing about Embiid is, right, you can't stop him. Too big, too strong, right? Everyone complains about foul calls, but the assertiveness he drives the rim with, you're not going to foul him or he scores.
That's the issue. Every single time
he goes to the free throw line, is a goddamn foul.
When I heard people like Steve Nash talking about how we kept our hands to ourselves, I was like, you're keeping your hands to yourself.
The difference between Embiid and Giannis is Embiid is an 85% free throw shooter. That's why people don't complain about Giannis taking.
So what is Giannis?
Probably 70% something.
Like, he's shooting career high, like way. He's like mid 70s.
Do you know the funny thing is,
people will not complain about Giannis's free throws because he doesn't make as much as Joel does.
Yeah.
That's why everyone has a problem with it.
And you know, I'm calling Giannis the best player in the league right now. He's doing all of this right now after coming up of a finals and
staying home.
Do you know why I wouldn't be mad when you guys say he's the best player? Because now he can actually shoot mid-range, he can back down, he has a post game and he's shooting three.
What do you do? Another thing about
Joel Embiid, which is why I feel like he has more foot in the best player in the world debates, and you guys think. Joel Embiid, his defensive rating, like his personal defensive rating from the moment he made his league debut till now, whenever he's on the court for the Philadelphia 76ers, they've been first, and then this season fourth. So whenever Joel Embiid is on the floor, the Sixers are a top five defense in the league. Makes you think, why doesn't he get more respect for the Defensive Player of the Year award?
Because I mean, it's actually unfair, and Embiid says like they hate him, and he has a point because that guy is playing crazy, and yeah, this year is kind of very tough because Jokic is doing
because with his team as well is three people who deserve to win the MVP, but then
Booker has can win Booker. If Booker doesn't win, he's going to be the first person in history to have that type of record, the best scorer that type of
record. You know, the Suns can win like if things going all things considered, the Suns could win 65 games this season.
Yeah,
and it will not even be considered. That's the point.
You know what? It's high time we just jump into the next topic, which is the awards. And now this can get I'm not going to entertain any useless argument. You give me your award winner and you state why. MVP. Who's your MVP?
My MVP, Atinti. He snatched that from Embiid. He really did.
Luka deserves MVP consideration as well.
I beg Jari, stop it.
Don't be hating, bro. It's facts. He's given every superstar the league he's played this season, he's laid them across his lap and give them a good spanking.
Hey, yo. Hey, Larry, yo.
Luka deserves MVP consideration.
No! MVP. The fact that you're talking like that about him, no.
Tosin, who's your MVP?
Giannis.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
I'm going to Joel Embiid. I'm not changing my mind. Like, Joel Embiid is the MVP on a game by game basis. He's been the best player in the world this season. That's all I'm going to say.
On a game by game basis, when he played Milwaukee, what was your analysis of the game?
He balled out, he had 36 and 10.
Yeah, but who won?
James Harden is the reason they lost. I don't even know why we didn't have a James Harden
segment. I'll remind you, James Harden scored 32 in that game.
We didn't have a James Harden segment because we don't have enough time to get into the...
It's like a switch.
Yeah. Bro, I promise you guys, every single Philly game I try to watch, and after each game, I go to YouTube. They have a Philly fans channel, and I watch every live reaction of their teams.
I'd be waking up real early to have extra time to be a hater.
That's what
Tosin said. I promise you. When I see... Philly fans say James Froden, I get so much joy in my belly. I'm like so happy.
He has extra time to beat on James Harden today.
And that's right. It will remain there.
So Giannis is your MVP. I told you, I'm going to with Joel Embiid. Who's your DPOY, Femi?
Giannis.
I agree. It would be Draymond if he was healthy, but it's Giannis.
Yeah, I'm going to go with JJJ.
I beg.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout. I don't think he'll be top three.
With the combination of his number of steals and blocks,
if I see Rudy Gobert anywhere,
in consideration, see it.
All right, who's your coach of the year?
Coach of the year, has to be Monty.
For me, Memphis coach.
You don't win 60 games and not be coach of the year. It's got
to
be
more. Bro, they've been playing without Ja for how many games? He has to be the
We've been playing with CP for how many games?
Special shout out,
bro. It's not the same. This guy's
beating
without four of their starters.
By the way, before we continue, we need to talk about the Utah Jazz. Because
Faye, before you continue, yeah? You know, when we're talking about standings, in bring this our conversation as a place, I looked over at the standings. And I remember just about 3 months ago, I saw the Utah Jazz third. What are they doing in sixth?
Bro,
was I sleeping?
These guys are serious bottle jobs. Like,
I figured out the problem. It just came on to me like a vision. Their problem is a guy named Donovan Mitchell.
I knew you were going to say that. And I agree with you to an extent.
He's their solution and their problem.
To an extent, I hear what you're trying to say. But I said, the Clippers 25-point comeback against the Utah Jazz again. Donovan Mitchell looks like he's about to cry. The next game, they give up an 18-0 run to the Warriors in the fourth quarter, and the man is about to cry again. And you do all this with a three-time defensive player of the year? You know what?
No. To Rudy's defense. You even saw Rudy, like, after the game, he posted a picture of him, like, putting his hands up like this. He was under the rim.
Yeah.
But the problem is Donovan is narrow-minded. You know, like, he's tunnel visioned.
People are very evil. Somebody said Donovan Mitchell averages 2.3 passes to Rudy Gobert a game. He averages 3 turnovers a game. So he's passing to the other team more times than he's passing to Rudy Gobert.
But the thing is, I know we just talked about, like, man movement, ball movement. But let me ask you this. You see Rudy Gobert under the rim, are you passing?
I'm a passing. Bro, he's dunking. What are you talking about? I'm passing it to him. This is not post-work.
The difference is he had a mismatch. That's why.
Yeah, and this is not post-work. He just lob it. He's dunking it.
He had a mismatch.
Let me tell you something.
See, Donovan takes him to all those 19-point leads by being tunnel vision, and he loses the game for them by being tunnel vision.
The thing about Donovan Mitchell is when his threes fall, he's unguardable. When his threes don't fall, he's unbearable to watch.
Yeah.
But
He doesn't adjust.
It's three and drive. Like, he needs to add that mid-range game. That's different between him and Book.
Like, if they let Conley handle the ball, like, clutch time a little bit more, I feel like they would be able to close out a little bit better. But
I totally hear you. But we've been figuring out all the time. Your coach of the year, Monty Williams.
Yeah.
Okay. And Tosin is being different with Taylor Jenkins. Sixth man of the year is one answer, actually. Tyler Hero.
Yeah, easily.
Most improved player.
Most improved has to be.
You're gonna go with Ja?
Damn, I was about to ask.
Is he above most improved level?
I don't even mind. I wouldn't Ja, yes. Maybe. I'm just trying to.
Gary Trent is a shout as well.
Yes, Gary Trent, for sure. I'm trying to think. Tyrese
had 17 assists with 0 turnovers yesterday.
Tyrese has been very impressive.
But like, his record, obviously, with the Kings and the Pacers, it's not going to help him.
Mm-hmm. What about Tyrese Maxey, though? Maxey.
Oh, that's a shout. Jordan Poole.
I'll give it to Poole.
Jordan Poole is cold. Like, Jordan Poole is a proper third scoring option, in my opinion.
I was impressed this season. Still.
Jordan Poole is. Yeah, it's either Ja Morant or Jordan Poole.
Go ahead.
Rookie of the year.
Let me have you guys. Let me go first, actually. Scotty Barnes is not in top two.
What are you talking about?
Let me tell you what.
I will see you guys later.
What are you talking about?
See, do you know what you guys' problem is? The problem is I always lay my big announcement before I explain, and you guys don't wait for the explanation.
No, because you be tripping.
Nah. You see that guy in Detroit Pistons is number two for me.
Cade is a baller, right?
He's number two.
But if Mobley is winning, why is Mobley overtaken a rookie of the year? Why is Mobley a rookie
what?
Of the year?
My boy Mobley.
Why is he a rookie of the year?
Say his name. Mobley.
So his name is he's rookie of the year because Mobley. Oh, please. More like Mowgli.
How many Mowglis are there?
This ain't Jungle Book, bro. This is basketball, bro. This is basketball. Scottie Barnes is the rookie of the year. Don't get it twisted.
You have the mind to say Scottie Barnes rookie of the year.
Mobley was rookie of the year because what? The Cavs had a good record. The Raptors have 3 games ahead of the Cavs now. Similar numbers. Scottie averaging more assists. Shooting better from the three. More steals.
Thank you.
Similar field goal percentage. Why on God's green earth is Evan Mobley ahead of Scottie Barnes?
Tell him. He don't know about him. Do you know about him?
Shut him up. Let him know. I got you, Scottie. I got you for life. I'm a Scottie Barnes fan for life.
You know, have you heard of his middle name?
What's his
H-I-M.
name?
H-I-M. H-I-M. Him.
Facts. Scotty him Barnes.
He's him. You know why? Because it's him. That's him.
I cried that too soon.
Guy got your tongue?
You ain't got nothing to say?
It is what it is. We'll see at the end of the season. Everything that I've said so far is something we'll see at the end of the season. So,
why is Mobley your rookie of the year, though? And don't tell me because his name is... Because
name is that's Mobley. That's my only reason. Because that's my only reason.
What do you mean? What do you mean, bro?
Tell him, what do you mean?
See. Okay, this is my reason. When I watch Toronto Raptors, right?
Talk to me.
Like, before I started watching Toronto Raptors, I would look at the points and the stats of Scottie Barnes, and I'm like, shit, this guy is actually him. And when I watch their games, I'm like, this guy might be her. So I'm not exactly too sure.
That's dumb. That's dumb as hell. And second of all, that's
how you feel.
Bro, what kind of statement is that? You're about to get canceled. You're about to get canceled, fam. Do you know? You're about to get bloody canceled. Apologize. Bro,
what's your damn problem?
What are you doing? Oh my God, bro.
We'll see in it. But all I'm saying is I've been underwhelmed.
Scotty plays any defense. Like, Mobley mans the rhythm in it, but Scotty guards 1-5. Mobley's defensive numbers have gone down ever since Jared Allen dipped. Ivan Mobley cannot start at point guard in one game and start a center the next game. Only two men in the NBA can do that. LeBron James and Magic Johnson.
Facts.
Better record, better winning numbers. Same numbers, but Scotty edges it with assists. I think
for the people in the back,
a couple of rebounds more though. Scotty shooting similar numbers from the field. Scotty shoots better from the three and shoots better from the free throw line. I don't see why Ivan Mobley's rookie of the year. The reason he was rookie of the year was because of what the Cavs were doing. Now
I'm telling you, the conversation we should be having is Cade Cunningham and Ivan Mobley.
I'm telling you, the conversation we should be having is should not even involve Mobley from.
Yeah, Mobley. God. I have the fear of God.
Come on, bro.
You see that hate within your heart?
This is what I'm telling you. He'd be waking up just to hate on people for extra hours in the day, bro. That's crazy.
He's hitting on Scottie P.
Correction. He's only James Harden.
No, please. You'd be waking up early to hate on Toronto, bro. This guy, he will sleep, be like, oh my God, it's 5 o'clock. I have to wake up, start hating on Toronto.
I actually don't think about Toronto, but I think about James Harden every day. Every day.
What are you trying to say? We don't matter to you?
Huh? Absolutely. Oh, no, you guys. You guys have grown to matter to me. You've grown to matter to me. I'm scared of you. Guys.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm gonna give you.
I don't care about what 10th place in the East thinks, bro. Like, you can keep it to your bloody self.
Tell them.
We've come to the end of a rather.
No, biggest winners and losers.
Thank you. Who's your biggest winner of the week?
Biggest winner of the week, my Raptors, baby.
Yes, sir. Nah, it was lovely seeing Kalo back in Toronto, though. We let Miami win just because we wanted Kalo to be happy. In it. Yeah.
My biggest winner of the week is Giannis. Giannis as an entity, as the leap he has made into the MVP. Like, he had a crazy week where he blocked
Joel.
What was that? Joel.
And then step back
on KD. Step back three. Free throws to win the game.
And then got like step back done by Luka.
Shut up. You don't want to hear about that. They don't want to.
Boy, he's had an amazing week. So my biggest winner of the week is
I agree with you, but I'm going to go Klay Thompson.
Yeah, Klay get back to what that was fun to watch.
Yeah, that was like when he made those five threes in the fourth quarter. I was like, is this Sacramento Kings all over again?
Do you remember? Remember?
Oh, like because three of them were just pick and roll pop.
I remember when one of the shots he took on Rudy Gobert.
He was leaning as well. One of them, he was leaning, and it was nothing but the bottom.
And then the man, Rudy Gobert, stomped his feet on the ground. And then
Steph falls in.
Like, I'm like, yo, look at this grown baby.
Rudy has been such a nice guy. I don't know why you guys wake up with hatred in your hearts.
It's Draymond Green, bro. Draymond Green just be cursing him out. And it's funny as hell. Who's your biggest loser of the week?
Miami Heat.
I mean, they're past that. Come on. Like, he's past the biggest loser of... The weeks we're on holiday, sadly.
Yeah. Yes, No, but Lakers for me. They just
Brooklyn Nets for me.
I want to say the word, but I can't ruin the airwaves. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I feel like they should add an extra S to the Los Angeles Lakers so that they can give a true representation of
the their ass juice. That's the best way I can say it. Their ass juice,
another self for biggest winner would be Paul George for me, but
smoothest game in the NBA, bro. Nobody
close. But biggest loser for me,
it's got to be Brooklyn, bro.
No, they're up there. I'll say they're up there for me. The biggest losers pissing me off. But the biggest loser for me would go to. Probably Golden State.
What do you mean? They just had an 18-point. The Utah Jazz actually the biggest loser.
I would agree more to that.
Then. The Utah Jazz are actually the biggest because they have a 25-point comeback loss, and then 18-point comeback loss in like back-to-back games. It is ridiculous.
Oh, sorry. I take everything back. I actually know my biggest.
Make up your mind, bro.
No. Because it's
difficult. Are you the Canadian winner?
It's difficult thinking about it at this point, but as you guys were talking, I thought about it. It's Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh my God.
That loss to Detroit Pistons. Yeah. Oh my, it was filthy. It was disgusting. It was inglorious.
It sounds like your accent right now. What the hell is that, bro? Well, the Brooklyn Nets losing in the most important game of the season to take them to the 10th seed. The Sixers clinched the playoffs yesterday. Brooklyn are 10th seed. So what makes one a bigger loser than the other?
One is the type of loss. I understand Brooklyn for me, they're the second biggest loser.
You'll be so weird, bro. What are you talking about?
You can't lose to Detroit Pistons. You're up by double digits and you lose that game.
Anyway, I just want to say I have won.
I'm crying.
I have won, right? But at what cost? Because the whole world is starting to see Dr. Rivers is a fraud. He's more of an actual doctor than an MP.
He called out James Harden. But wait, what did you guys think about that call out?
He's daft. He's extremely daft.
The call wasn't crazy. He said, so they asked him why the bench unit struggled against Detroit. They basically scored next to nothing. And he was like, it wasn't really the bench struggling against Detroit. It was more... when they were on the court, it was more James Harden shooting because the bench didn't get any shots up. He was like,
This is why Doc Rivers is a weird guy. Because like I always say, you should never trust a man who is bald and lines his hair. Because 5 minutes later, he then goes on to say, oh, my issue with James Harden is he's not shooting enough. Like, make up your goddamn mind, bro. How can you say the bench didn't get enough shots up because James Harden was shooting all the time? 5 minutes later, you now say, oh, James Harden.
No. This was in an answer to a question that they asked, how bad were the bench? And it was like, they didn't get shots up for you to actually
Let me tell you, Dr. Rivers is a fraud. Like I said, he's more of a medical doctor than an NBA coach. So I'm just happy that people are starting to see. But the problem is now, Joel is possibly not going to win a chip. So I've won, but at what cost? At the cost of one of my favorite players.
No, Joel is not winning a chip with
all right, that guys, squad. We've come to the end of squad. Another. We've given you guys enough entertainment. This was a rather long episode. But yeah, let us be. It was our first episode after a 2-week
holiday. James Harden is never winning a championship.
Tosin had to get a lot
why
of
are you looking off. Into the distance? Hey.
You know what I think it is? It's been 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks since he had a platform to hate. So it's like, nah. All the hate that stood up, I have to let it out.
His game is not made right to now. Win a championship.
All right, that's fine.
But listeners, you need to see him right now. The man is staring.
Please allow me to end the episode.
His MVP is most valuable.
Oh my God, bro.
Get him out of here.
Most valuable party goer. That's his MVP.
We've come to the end of another episode of the CoreCast. I hope you enjoyed listening to this one as much as we enjoyed recording it. As usual, I've been your voice of reason, your voice of truth. The man who speaks the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth.
Do you know who you sound like? Do you know who you sound like? You sound like Lucifer.
Femi has been skipped bailless himself, never fails to hit. Actually, Tosin was more of a skip today, but I'll give him Shannon. Shannon hates on Russell Westbrook, so I'll give you Shannon Sharp.
I don't know why you keep mentioning number 77 and my name in the same breath. Like, say his name,
bro,
and then...
Bro, when you come Calgary, I'm going to surprise you with a 77 jersey.
Please, if you dare.
I can't wait for Lucas Hughes to drop.
You might lose a family member.
I can't wait for Lucas Hughes to drop. I'm getting them for your birthday next year.
Yo, I'm telling you, fam, you might lose a family
member. So are you telling me you won't wear it?
Me? Wear Luca?
Actually, we're going to play some wagers in our... Watch out for our playoff episode next week. Yeah, there's going to be a lot more people on here.
It's like, yeah, like I said, energy.
Like I said, we've come to the end of another episode of Courtcast. Make sure to check us out on all podcasting platforms. Give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter. Tell a friend to listen to the Courtcast. Thank you for listening to our returning episode. We'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.
You need to see those.
It's a Slam Time production.